Father, we so much thank you for your word and thank you for the prayer. And I join my prayer with David. And we ask, Father, for fresh wind and fresh fire for the church. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Praise God. Because of Mary Ward's request, we're going to do a little bit more fire. Because we do realize that that's what the church has got to have for this end time revival. They got to have some fire. When you don't have enough fire and passion in you to get up in the morning to go to church, to be the, how in the world you're going to have the passion and fire to be the church?
Amen. So
we want to discuss a little bit more about this fire because we want it to whet your appetite and your desire for it, that you get hungry for it. Now, last week we told you how you get, in the natural, when we get hungry is when we don't eat. But if you really want to get hunger in the spirit, you got to eat.
Amen.
So it's so much different than in the natural. In the natural, if you go without food, you get hungry. But in the spirit realm, you have to eat to get hungry. The more you eat, the more you want.
Amen.
You get hungry, the more hungry. So we call forth a hunger generation, one that would hunger after righteous. I heard one preacher say, and I kind of disagree with him. He said, it's not good to get too hungry because you eat anything. He's talking about spiritually. Mm-hmm. But I disagree with that because when you're hungering after righteousness, nothing going to satisfy you.
Amen.
But righteousness.
Exactly.
He said,
exactly.
He said, hunger after righteousness. Praise God. So we thank God for the word. We are looking for the fresh wind and the fresh fire to just captivate the body of Christ and the church. You know, that's what it did on the day of Pentecost. Of all the emblems that we're studying today, he sent the wind and the fire there.
Yes.
Because once you send the wind and the fire, the river gonna flow. All the other things are going to activate. Because when they got outside, the river flowed on so many, you know. They lifed them. But the wind had to come on the day of Pentecost because the church was being lifed. And wind represent breath, life. And they had to be lifed on the day of Pentecost. And the fire had to come. You know, I told you about the three P's of the fire: God's presence, passion, and purity. If he had to send them boys out with all that anointing, with all what they had, and they didn't have the purity, they could have been balked.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of things could have.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I like about the early church, they knew what it would take to keep the fire burning. They didn't allow it to go out. You'll see them going to a prayer meeting, either they was going or coming from one. You know, and they were constantly feeding the fire that they had received. Because they could have did what Paul said in Thessalonians, quench not the Holy Spirit. Don't put the fire out. We know we can't put the fire, the Holy Spirit out, but we can put it out in our lives. So he told them, quench not the Holy Spirit. And over in Ephesians, he told them what to quench. He said, quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Put it out. Quench it. But we want to be people that are on fire, that our hearts are burned. You know, that we, when we hear the word of God, our hearts would burn. Let's go to the Old Testament some in And one thing, I want you to know that this is divine fire. Don't be afraid of it. When he wrote that in Hebrew 12:29, said God is a consuming fire. It wasn't for the believers to be afraid of God's fire. God's fire is different for the believer. For the believers, God's fire is a place of safety and security for the believers. Because God is burning off those things that in our lives that would hold us back in our relationship and our doing of the Lord. He held that fire so we can have that passion. Because without passion, you're just becoming a church. And that's what a lot of people do. Oh, I got to get up and go to church. I don't have to get up and go to church. I get to.
Amen.
I get to do it. I get to do it. That passion. You're looking for another. You're looking for more. You know, this early morning class was created for the people that had a passion. Everybody don't have that passion. It was designed for a passion that was burning in the hearts of people. Because people, we've got to get this word down in us, and we got to get it right. And the word of God. I tell you what, let's just go to Jeremiah 5:14. Jeremiah 5:14. Let's just get to going here in the direction of the Old Testament. Then we're going to bring you back to the New Testament. Okay, Jeremiah 5:14 reads. Okay. Wherefore thus said the Lord God of hosts, because he speak the word, behold, I will make my words in their mouth. I will make my words in their mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. He was telling Jeremiah, I'm gonna make the words that you said gonna be like fire. And we need that again, the words in our mouth like fire. And then that's when Jeremiah said in the other chapter, said, hey, this is just like fire shut up in my bone. I can't, even when he wanted. Because see, God knew who Jeremiah was dealing with, the kind of people. They didn't want to hear Jeremiah. They didn't want to hear what thus said the Lord. They didn't want to do. They didn't have God on their mind. And God said, I'm going to make your mouth, the words that I put in your mouth, like fire. It's going to be like fire. And when Jeremiah wanted to quit, he couldn't quit. He said, because God done made them words in my mouth like fire. Just like my sister here said, just like fire shut up in my bone. I can't stop. I can't quit. I've got to release what God said to a people. And these people, not only, they made it very difficult for Jeremiah. Even when he was releasing a word of God, they would look at him like, I'm going to take you apart here, Jeremiah. You know, the eyes on him was just like, I mean, it was supposed to have been frightening to Jeremiah.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah, he was getting kind of tired of dealing with people like that, that always rejected the word of God and wouldn't listen and didn't want to hear what God says. He said, Jeremiah said, I'm just tired, God, and I'm just not going to say anything else. I'm not going to preach anymore. Because God had put that word in his mouth like fire. Jeremiah said, just like fire, shut up in my bones. Shut up in my bones. And I can't be still. I've got to release it. I've got to say, even though I don't feel like saying, I've got to release the divine fire. But the divine fire to a believer is very, very positive.
Yes.
Don't look at it as negative. It's a very, very positive thing. Let's go to Exodus 3:1. I just want to just go through the Old Testament some and just show you. Because even in the Old Testament and in their day and time, fire was very, very much in their midst because the presence of God was there. Exodus 3:1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, in that, where Moses was, it wasn't, you know, nothing to see a bush burning, but to see one that could not be consumed, that one was kind of different. And Moses said, because it would get so hot there where he was, you could easily see a bush on fire. But this bush was different. It was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. What got Moses, the bush was not burnt. It wasn't consumed. He had seen burning bushes before, but this one really took his attention. He said, this is a different fire here.
Moses talks to himself. I've never noticed that before.
Moses what now?
Talking to himself, so it's important to talk to yourself.
Yeah.
Yourself.
Yeah, it is. He told himself, we're going to turn aside. We're going to watch this bush.
He said to.
Yeah, and Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great, he called it a great sight. Mm-hmm. Why is this not being burned? This is a different fire, Moses said, was saying to himself. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, mm-hmm. God called unto him out of the mist of the bush and said, Moses. And at time he called your name twice, he's really want to make sure he got your attention. And he said, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. The fire made that place where he was standing, woo, holy ground. It purified it.
Ooh, glory.
Abashatadiyah.
Amen.
It purified it.
Yes.
And he took off his shoes. He didn't want any dust or anything of the world to enter into this purity.
Yeah.
And Moses, trust me, he got on fire when he seen that fire.
Yes.
When that fire,
woo, glory,
woo, got all in him. He took off his shoes.
Woo.
And he put on some more shoes. Glory, hallelujah. And God didn't have no more problem with him. I want him to go and bring deliverance. God's way. Because Moses tried to do it at first his way. And he got in trouble. So he had to spend some time in the backside of the desert. But when that fire began to purify. He told him, take off your shoes. The fire is purifying where you're standing. He told him, come a little closer. He came closer to where the fire was. And it began to purify him. And he was like, okay, I'm ready, God. Here am I. Here am I, God. I've been ducking and dodging, but here am I, Lord. I'm ready to go now. I'm ready because that fire. Praise God. God, we just ask that you release a fire on the church. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is in us. The fire is in there.
Amen.
But we've got to make that connection with the fire. As they did on the day of Pentecost, they prayed and they unified themselves.
Yes.
That was corporate That was corporate fire that fell. And then it was individual. It says set on each individual. Although they got that corporate anointing there today. It set on each of them. I just want you to get that appetite for the fire, to know how important it is in your life. And like I was saying last week, when you mix wind with fire, guess what? It spreads.
Amen.
That's one thing of the when a fire is out in the woods, the fireman is, oh, I hope the wind didn't come, because if the wind come, it's going to spread. And it did. It spread it when my sister.
Yeah, I want to say back in verse 4,
uh-huh.
It said, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see,
uh-huh.
So also the Lord was observing how Moses was looking before he spoke to him out of the fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had to get his attention. But God saw, hey, I got his attention. And that would get anybody's attention. You see a bush that won't be consumed. And, you know, Moses has seen many bushes out there on the backside of the desert burning because it gets so hot. They automatically would burn.
And also, like you were speaking, I was thinking, well, you know, you're busy and you think, well, I'll do the word. Well, maybe you should stop and say, self, Mary. Let's go get in the Word. We're going to read the Word and find something out today.
Right.
You know, say it out loud to you when you think stuff like that.
Right,
because he said, I'm going to go see that bush.
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't talk to him until he said that and did it.
Yeah. God didn't talk to him until he got his attention. God wanted his fully attention because he had to tell him, the fire is here.
Yes.
Now pull off your shoes. Take off your shoes. Take off your agenda. Take off your way of doing things. Take it off, because you're not going to bring it in here with the fire.
Yeah, and worship, taking off those shoes.
Yes.
Worship.
Yes.
The more you worship in his presence, too, that's another way of doing it.
That's another way. That's very good, Mary. That's very good. You know, and that was very good what Sister Porterfield brought out about. He was waiting for Moses to get his full attention.
Yes.
To really look. Oh, God, it's out the teeth. Okay. Okay, Moses in the fire. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings 18 and 17. Now, you know what? Let's not do this after 10. I'm just going to talk to you about no, let's go to Ezekiel 81. I really want Ezekiel 81.
Ezekiel what?
8:1. While we're turning there, I'm just going to talk about 1 Kings 18, where Elijah and the fire, when he took on the prophets of Baal, he showed them that he served the God that will answer by fire. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel. 8th chapter, and let's start at the first verse. You know, I like the book of Ezekiel. I like how God dealt with this prophet. And some of the things that he showed this prophet. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elder of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. In all of his expression, you're going to see the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his loins, even downward, fire. Boy, he saw a fiery. It said, the appearance of his loins, even downward, was fire. And from his loins, even upward. And as the appearance of brightness in the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand. and took me by a lock of my hair, my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth. Now he's going to tell you what all that fiery looking person, he said, it was the Spirit. He lifted me up between the earth and the heavens and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy which provoked. We're not gonna read all that, but what Ezekiel was saying here, saying that God took him by the Spirit of God took him by the head and took him into the temple, into Jerusalem. Now we know where he was located at this time. He was in Babylon. He was in exile with all the other, you know, he was that prophet that prophesied in exile. But in a vision, the Lord took him by his head and took him to Jerusalem and set him in the temple, to show him some things in the temple. Now see, this was the time when the temple was not destroyed at this time. Two different divisions that Ezekiel taught. The first he taught the people, he prophesied to the people that, hey, the temple will fall. Because one thing that the people thought, well, the temple, we in Babylon and this and that, the temple won't fall. They thought the temple wouldn't fall. But he prophesied to them and he told them the temple will fall in the first half. In the last half, he brought encouragement to them after the temple had failed. That's further down. That's when you talk about the dry bones, when you talk about the river, all that was encouraging the people that God was going to revisit them again and do great things for them again. But here we see that the temple had not been destroyed, but God took him there purposely, on purpose. And what I'm really trying to get you to see, it was a fiery, Ezekiel said, it looked like a fiery person, a person on fire that took me there. He was, even down to his loins, was on fire. I mean, he was very fiery looking. And he took me to the temple. And when we look at Jesus, many times said fire was in his eyes, and he looks like fire to some. Even when Daniel saw him in the book of Daniel, even when John saw him in the book of Revelation, he said he had fire in his eyes. And so fire is associated a lot with God's people and God. So if you don't like fire, you need to get used to it. We're not talking about the destructive fire. We're talking about the redemptive fire. We're talking about the divine fire for the believers. Yeah. Now, if you're not a believer, you may want to be a little disturbed about the fire. Because he told us it won't be water no more, but it's going to be fire next time. He said, I'm not going to use water to cleanse the earth. He said, I'm going to purify this earth. The fire is going to burn up everything. I'm going to use the fire the next time. But the church fire is very important to the church. You know, as Ray was talking about the different revivals and how this revival is going to be so great. Let's go to Levitical and just, we don't have time to go there. I'm just going to talk about it. I want to go to Levitical I'll give it to you in 1 minute. I wanted to go, we're not going there. I want to go to Leviticus to talk about this fire that people saw that was on the tabernacle. Let's do Exodus 40 and 38. Let's just go anyway, Mira. Let's do the one in Exodus. 40,
38.
Exodus 40 and 38. I said we wouldn't go in there, but let's go. Exodus 40 and 38. The 40th chapter of Exodus in the 38th verse. 38. Okay, have you got it?